Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon. One. It's one already. What am I keeping count of today? The amount of times I can hear Sarah Mills scream at the television while I'm in studio during England's match against Croatia. We're only 7 minutes in once because Croatia nearly scored near the start of this match today. So England begins their journey at the World Cup. Tomorrow, Canada against Qatar or Qatar. Many various pronunciations. One of those countries.
It's kind of one of those depends,
when
right?
When it was in the World Cup, I remember someone said it is Qatar.
Qatar.
But a lot of
Qatar
say Qatar. But
who did we have on the other day?
James Sharman said Qatar.
Qatar, yeah.
He'll be watching this match intently with England against Croatia. That's a penalty shot. It's got to be fouled in the box for England. We'll see where it goes. I'm sure we'll hear about it shortly if England opens the scoring quickly in the first 10 minutes of the match.
This is exciting.
We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup. The top sports stories going on right now. But just we need to be quiet just a little bit. We might be able to hear the reaction as Harry Kane lines up at the spot for a penalty in the first 10 minutes of the match for England.
Don't mess this up, Kane.
So if you listen closely, if he misses, you'll hear Sarah Mills. I know you will. And every other English fan. And you'll hear her too if he actually puts this in. He's one of the best in the world. Surely he's going to score, right? He wouldn't like send it wide or high or anything.
Oh, he missed.
It was a save, but if the goalie came off the line, will there be a re-kick or something?
Is that we'll reviewable?
See. Oh, I'm sure it's, with replay systems, we can do it. But we'll bring you up to date, as they are checking VIR, so
oh yeah,
maybe they'll have another crack at it.
Thing.
Maybe they'll have another crack at it. Well, they do that. Let's get to what's going on in Toronto. As the Toronto Maple Leafs have hired Jim Hiller to be the new head coach.
Yeah, he was just very precise and specific with his plan and how he saw this team, getting to the next level. So I think the culmination of all those things gave us a lot of conviction on Jim.
I'll be honest, my first reaction, Locker, to Jim Hiller as the head coach was, wow, is Toronto having problems trying to fill first John Chyka and then Jim Hiller?
Well,
these are not exactly riveting, inspiring hires for the future of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, but they're also not like, well, the John Chyka thing is, that's just weird. This is like, I don't know. It's like if Nashville needed a new coach, right?
Yeah, like, this is the Toronto Maple Leafs, but... So Jim Hiller, of course, his history as the head coach of LA is losing in the first round.
He's got a decent regular season record.
Yeah, like, but so have the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right? Did he score?
He did score on the re-kick because Croatia moved forward before he struck the ball. You're not allowed to jump into to get the ball until he strikes it. They jumped into the box early. That's why they re-kicked. There's Sarah Mills celebrating a Harry Kane mark at the start of the match.
Wow.
For England.
It's all about second chances.
There it is. My little bit of relief in the newsroom, I think. But we'll wait if Croatia tells it. But Jim Hiller, okay. I'm uninspired by this hire.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Terry Koshin coming up from
Leaf
the Toronto
fans.
Star. Are you inspired by this? I don't see a lot of Leaf fans jumping up and going, oh, yeah, this is a great hire. A guy who couldn't win in the first round of the playoffs comes to Toronto to be the head coach. Okay. All right. We'll see where it goes from here.
And we have more coaching news. Ryan Craig has officially been hired by the Vegas Golden Cutthroats as their new head coach, but Tortorella wants to coach again.
He wanted people to know he wants to keep coaching, and I've let all 31 NHL teams, other 31 NHL teams know that he's interested in continuing to coach, and
if he
gets that opportunity, I'd be happy for him.
I had to play that clip because the irony of him going, I've told all the other teams Torts is available.
It's just an awful, awful organization.
And then they won't let Cassidy talk to anybody.
It's unbelievable.
That's such a hypocritical thing to me. We'll fire a guy and not let him coach other teams.
Right.
But this guy, we can't wait for him to get a new job, Torts. Love that guy.
It's weird, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Something happened between Kelly and Bruce. This is vindictive. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Right? There's more to this.
There, 100%. There's always more to it.
Like, maybe everything. He dented his car in the parking lot.
Like the Jim Hiller hire, there's more to it than that was the best guy for the job. I imagine they talked to a lot of qualified people, and I'm not sure a lot of them are going, oh, yeah, let me work for John Chyka before I really know what this is going to be like from his experience in Arizona.
Did they get the more desperate guy?
Exactly.
I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I'm at a point. I used to take joy in the misery of Leaf fans, but I'm starting to feel sorry. I don't even think they deserve John Chyka. I don't think they do. It's unfortunate. Ryan Craig was an assistant coach in Vegas for the first 6 years, then moved to the AHL affiliate and did a pretty decent job, including this year. Craig played for Kelly McCrimmon with the Brandon Wheat Kings, so another member of the Brandon Wheat Kings connection on the Vegas Golden Knights for 5 seasons. McCrimmon did admit that even if Tortorella led the team to a Stanley Cup, they'd be hiring Ryan Craig. So I think this was something that was decided behind the scenes. My guess, and I said it yesterday, purely speculation, is that Ryan Craig did not want to be the guy that replaced Bruce Cassidy, because Bruce Cassidy had a pretty decent record. He did good things with that team. It made sense. By the way, Mark Spector, if you follow him on Twitter, he just released a tweet that said, I can confirm that Edmonton was not the team granted permission in an interview by Bruce Cassidy. Kelly McCrimmon today, in his wrap-up, he did talk about the fact that...
Oh, I have the tape right here if you want to hear it.
Well, we had a situation where we did grant Bruce permission to speak with another team. That didn't come to fruition, but we'll deal with that on a case-by-case basis.
So it was probably it's Toronto.
Bizarre. Yeah, it would have been... And how do you... Like, I'm sorry. Jim or Bruce? Unless Bruce...
That's why I think there's more to the story, that if Bruce interviewed and talked to John and said, I'm not that interested. Like, does Bruce want to work for John Chyka? I'm not sure. And I doubt it.
Does he want to coach the Leafs? That might be the bigger... It might be coaching that team.
I'm not sure people are quite sold to work for John Chyka after what went down in Arizona. Right. Meanwhile, some other NHL news. Another member of the American Olympic hockey team that won gold is asking for a trade.
So the Dallas they score! Vincent Trocheck!
An open man. Trocheck to the net. Fakes. Scores! Save made. And a rebound score! Vincent Trocheck!
Yeah, so Vincent Trocheck wants a trade, and apparently he's moved from agents. He has hired Quinn Hughes's agent. Of course. So let's run through here. Over the last couple of, we've had Matthew Tkachuk, that was years ago, asking for a trade out of Calgary.
Yeah.
Then you have Quinn Hughes. He gets out of Vancouver. Dylan Larkin recently out of Detroit. Vincent Trocheck now wants out of the New York Rangers. So that's 4 members of the U.S. Olympic team who are asking for trades recently. Connor Hellebuck, there is a lot of rumblings that he has also maybe not asked specifically for a trade, but is in conversation with the Jets that he's not too pleased with the current situation and where the team is going. And, of course, Locker is convinced Brady Tkachuk and Austin Matthews will also ask for trades. So
this I'm actually surprised that Brady Tkachuk hasn't. I thought he would actually...
He'd lead the charge?
Yeah.
No, so...
I'm surprised about
there
that.
There are rumblings that that was a lot of conversation with this U.S. Olympic team of maybe trying to go to the way the NBA to formulate super teams, so to speak.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Can we move on? Riders? Rough Riders plug some holes with a pair of signings today. And there's no audio. Long snapper Aaron Crawford is hurt, so they signed former Bomber long snapper Mike Benson. Also Nelson Lacombo injured. They've also signed a Canadian defensive back to help the depth in that position. And good news, Hardrick was a non-participant yesterday, was practicing full today. So we were a little bit concerned about DeMarcus yesterday. Mm-hmm. That concern seems to be alleviated. We've got Britton Gray, our Green Zone Riders reporter, in about 30 minutes to give us a complete update on practice today.
And at the World Cup, of course, yesterday was a day star-studded lineup of some of the best in the world on the pitch for the first time, and they did not disappoint.
What do you say?
Well, that's a little short. It's far too short, especially when Haaland is lurking.
Back to Messi. Messi!
Yes, Kylian Mbappe scores twice in France's win. Norway star Erling Haaland scores twice in Norway's win. And then the night capped off with Lionel Messi's hat trick for Argentina in their victory. And another, Harry Kane, he scored today already for England.
This soccer thing is 1-0. Fun.
It is fun. Will it be as fun tomorrow when Canada plays Qatar? I'm not so sure. Yeah, that is on the schedule. Earlier today, Cristiano Ronaldo was held off the sheet in Portugal's 1-1. Another shocking draw there, 1-1 against the Democratic Republic of Congo. So the DRC, 1-1 draw with Portugal.
Man, can I say this? Congo fans are so fun. Like, they don't stop. The whole game, they are dancing.
And soccer fans are fun.
Soccer
Name
fans
the country.
Are fun. But Congo fans were that was fun to watch.
Ghana plays Panama in Toronto a little bit later tonight. Uzbekistan against Colombia. But, of course, Canada's second match goes tomorrow, 4 o'clock Saskatchewan time, in a huge match in Vancouver. Coming up here on the Green Zone, more on the Leafs' new hire of Jim Hiller. Your thoughts on that. And we'll talk to a CFL super fan who's got some big-time questions when it comes to CFL rule changes. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on this Wednesday afternoon. It is 1-0 England against Croatia right now at the World Cup. Canada plays tomorrow against Qatar. Meanwhile, coming up, we're going to talk to a Rider fan who wrote a column in the Leader Post about CFL rule changes and Stuart Johnston in the CFL.
And he's remember, doing something about his discontent.
And remember, we talked about Mark Stephen about this yesterday on how good the first 2 weeks were. And we're just, this is a hypothetical. We don't think Stewart's going to change anything. But out of all the CFL rule changes, Stuart Johnston sits down and says, I'll give you one that you can undo, and only one.
Ooh.
Which rule would it be? Would it be the length of the end zones, the length of the playing surface of 110 yards going to 100? Of course, the end zones are going from 20 to 15. The goal post being moved to the back, the play clock going to 35 seconds.
Modified rouge. Team benches. The new playoff format. Do we include the TV stuff?
No.
Okay, because that's not a rule
change. That's not a rule change. That's just different revenue.
Because a lot of people might throw that in there if we offered up the zone as a sacrificial lamb.
Mine's the playoffs as well.
But hold on, but I don't mind the receding.
No!
I like the yes. So I struggle with that one because I like the. But I just think it's ridiculous that you got 8 of 9 teams making the playoffs. It's dumb.
Jamie Locker with you. This is a Wednesday edition of the Green Zone. Still coming up, Terry Koshin of the Toronto Sun on the new coach. Are Leafs fans inspired by Jim Hiller jumping on as the new head coach in Los Angeles? I just find it hilarious that their decision is to go with a guy whose head coaching credibility in the playoffs is losing in the first round. I just looked at producer Scotty, and he's like, that was bad. Croatia has just evened the game against England 1-1. Britton Gray's joining us, our Green Zone Rider reporter. But first, Britton, I know you're here just now when Croatia scored, but how's it going in the newsroom today with another World Cup game day during work hours with your boss, Sarah Mills?
It hasn't been too terrible yet. It's still
but
early.
You missed that.
I did miss that. The soundproofing in this room is wonderful. I thought for sure might hear an expletive from that one.
I did find some irony in her screaming at the TV, calm it down, calm it down, calm it down. She's not calm.
I'll never know that. Like, as a CFL fan or a Canucks fan, I think it's a little bit different. Soccer's a little bit different.
You know what it is?
Because I don't know why or what or how.
The lack of goals builds, right? Like, that anxiety. And you can have a close game and just, like, what just happened there, where it looks like England had, like, possession for most of this match already, and then all of a sudden Croatia's right back in it.
A lot more grown men cry because of a soccer game than I've ever seen for American football, CFL, hockey.
I've never cried over the result of a hockey game.
You see it at World Cups all the time.
Yeah.
And maybe these major events only happen, and it's a nation thing rather than a league team, but even Olympic hockey. Were we bawling our eyes out at the Boston Pizza when they lost the gold medal? No. Even the kids weren't crying.
Trying to think if I've... World Juniors?
Britain? Have you...
Never cried?
No. At a sporting event?
No, I have not.
Can you put your finger on the pulse of...
What about a bad bet? Like a parlay didn't come through.
No.
Do you ever shed a tear?
I have not shed a tear over that, though I have sworn at a couple last legs that haven't gone my way.
Especially late in the game when that turns. But let's get up to speed on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. There are some injury concerns right now. Roland Milligan, we found out, is a little more positive yesterday. He will be out for a few weeks, but it doesn't look long-term. What about Nelson Lacombo? From what you gather from what Corey Mace had to say today.
Didn't give too much about Nelson Lacombo. He's been out there in just a hoodie. He's kind of helping, watching the drills, helping run them a little bit. Corey Mace just said they're taking it easy with him, not wanting to push it tomorrow. It's always the close practice day that seems to be the most important day to figure out who will be going. But it doesn't sound terrible, but I just don't know how to gauge it based on what Corey told us today.
So we've got Juju Hughes filling in for Milligan from the looks of it in practice today. And Roland's going to be out for a bit. What did you get? Did you get any sense of how well he'll do in that spot?
Well, hopefully well. I mean, he was really good in training camp. He really excelled out there. It was noticeable in the preseason. You like that. It's going to be interesting. You never know with a new defensive back how they're going to adjust, especially a guy coming from the NFL, his first season here, the nuances and everything. When you get out there in a full game speed, how it's going to look. But based on what I've seen so far, they have confidence in him. There's a reason why he's the only true defensive back they've kept on the practice roster. They believe in him, and so excited to see what he can do.
What do we know about Juju Hughes?
call him Juju. He's only when he's in trouble with his dad, he said, is Juwan ever said to him. So.
Okay.
So the nickname is, it's like when you heard your parents say your middle name, you knew you were in trouble. Like,
yeah.
When the middle name drops, oof. Okay. So yeah. It's Juju until he's in trouble with dad, and then it was Juwan.
And
my middle name came out quite a bit when I was a child.
Another player who has a toothpick in his mouth, not during contact drills. He doesn't do it during contact, but if it's non-contact, he has a toothpick in his mouth.
Like in the game, like Winton McManus?
Not quite like that. Winton has it always in there when he's hitting guys, right? So, but non-contact stuff, just something he said he started in high school when he was biting his nails. And so to stop that, put the toothpick in. And ever since then, it's kind of followed him where it went. He was on Hard Knocks 3 years in a row. Just the teams that he went to were the Hard Knocks teams.
Oh, really?
So he's used to having cameras around.
Jalen Philpott, that's your behind enemy lines?
No, Dedrick Mills is.
Dedrick Mills? Okay. All right. But we did find out that he wished that he'd gotten a crack at the Riders in the playoffs after beating Saskatchewan last year twice in the regular season.
Did that come up at all for the Riders?
I asked Antoine Brooks Jr. about it, and he just kind of laughed and said, you know, they have something about it. We treat every team the same, and, you know, didn't want to give too much into that, but they hear it, and they know it. As we mentioned earlier last week, they know what's going on in the media and everything, right? They know what's being said, who the favorites are, and so I'm sure some of the players at least know that Philpott has said that.
Someone was screaming. Yeah. Oh, we got a goal. Yeah. There you go.
Harry Kane scored again. So that's his second of the match.
Way to go, Harry. Nice header.
A header from a corner.
Look at that.
Why can't Canada do that? Like, they had like 9 corners the other day and I don't even think they got a sniff of a goal. Serious. It was so frustrating.
So one of the conversations we're having today is if there was the possibility of Stu saying, all right, I've heard ya. I'll you get to pick one rule change that I've announced. I'll walk back on what rule are you picking?
In terms of what they've announced, it's probably the playoffs for next season with every team except one making it. That until you get that 10th team in there, it's a little ridiculous.
Even
only one
10?
Team.
I'm sorry.
You really need to get to 12 to make that work, but they wanted more playoff games. You sell it to broadcasters, get more sponsorship. I get it. I'd almost want another change. I'm with Daryl Davis. The last 3 minutes are just dragging now in CFL games.
You want more changes. You're adding
the
changes.
The dink and dunk, you can just run 12 plays in the last three minutes.
You know what?
It gets a little like, holy, it's only been 10 seconds and they've run 4 plays.
I've kind of wrapped my head around the idea that these are coming, right? I've sort of settled in. And I'm like, okay, that one's not. Is that one the end of the world? No, is that one? I don't love this about that, but I don't mind this part of it. It's one of those things. I honestly think, and I don't know if you'll allow me, I'll relinquish my playoff, taking the playoffs back. And I'd like to say this. The next rule Stu wants to change, I'd like to change, like stop it. Because I think that one's going to be the tipping point.
The ratio?
No. I just think anything he does, like he's going to
the next one.
It's just too much.
It's not what the rule is. It's just next rule change.
Stu, stop. You have just put this whole fan base into a blender. And I don't know if that next one is going to do you any favors. You might squeak through. You might get by unscathed with this next. Into 2027, but if you keep announcing changes, I think people are going to really start to push back, and I'm talking more than writing letters to the editor.
The thing that's gonna is awry for Stuart Johnston and the CFL right now is how dang good the first 2 weeks of the season has been.
That's hurting him
with the current rule, like that 35-second play clock. I don't think enough people have really realize the play clock right now, right? But how good this league has been at the start and the passing and the exciting finishes, that's where people have gone, what are we doing? Why are we changing the fields? Why are we doing all this?
Let's rewind 2 years, though.
To make it look more pretty on television. To make it look more pretty on television? Who cares?
Yeah.
Are people turning off the CFL because the Montreal Alouettes have diagonal end zones because the field doesn't quite fit in Montreal, or Toronto has 17-yard end zones rather than 20 because it doesn't quite fit? Are people turning people aren't going to Argo games because it's 17-yard end zones?
No. But again, when you take and you really dissect each individual rule and you go, okay, all right, is it the end of the world that is I think it's the accumulation of them over the last year that he's been the commissioner that is the bigger part of the problem. Because I went through the exercise before we jumped on today where I went through and I went, okay, what are all the rule changes? Like the before and afters. And I'm like, okay, well, does that one really bug me? No. Does that one? No. Would I have done something different if I was in his shoes? Maybe. But no, that one, no. No, it's, I think, because when you talk
It's too much all at once.
When you talk to fans, they'll even if they're mad about the rule changes, they don't always narrow in on one change.
Yeah.
They usually have a problem with Stu, and then they he's the Antichrist. Like, then we're upset because it's change.
Yeah, absolutely we are. But I find it interesting that Britain's adding more rule changes to the final 3 minutes.
We give him an option to roll one back, and he throws a couple more at us.
I'm more open to at least seeing how these rules will look, except for these playoffs.
I am as well. The playoff one is...
But somebody pointed out, they said it took... 40 minutes to run the first 25 minutes or whatever it was in the first half, and then 19 minutes for the final 3 minutes of the first half. Like, it just goes, whoa, it's drastically different, the pace of play. I think that one will be coming too, by the way, that there will be a change in the final 3 minutes.
And
it might be in 2027 as well.
And he's going to change the ratio.
Oh, my goodness. One might lead to a picket.
I just don't see the. He's going to need the CFLPA involved in that. I just don't think they're pushing that by.
He's going to get rid of something. He's going to clean it up somehow.
Oh, well.
And I think, I think you could get away with a cleaner ratio.
Well, the Americanized Canadian rule is just absolutely ridiculous.
Exactly.
Counting snaps is dumb.
That's what I think he'll get rid of. See, and then I'd be like, okay, well, that makes sense.
I think the global player is more on the chopping block than any sort of Canadian ratio. So right now you need to have a global player.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but then how are you? They're going to DAZN, which is more of a global audience. What? You don't have Habakkuk Baldonado playing, are people in Italy going to care? I was being sarcastic. Jamie Blocker and Britton with you here on the Greens. They all looked at me like, are you serious? Like, no, I'm not actually serious. Coming up next.
The well-delivered.
One of the... It
caught me.
June 17th is one of the wildest days in sports history. And this day happened 32 years ago. Well, remember June 17th, 1994. They made a whole 30 for 30 about it. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Ipswich Farm remembers.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions.
Who's back? Everybody scores! Tie game!
Have another donut!
On this day in sports history, if you haven't watched it, and even if you haven't lived through this day, the 30 for 30, June 17th, 1994 is a must watch. What was happening on June 17th, 1994? Well, the New York Knicks were in the NBA Finals. The series was 2-2 going into Game 5 that night. The World Cup was opening in Los Angeles that day, June 17th. Arnold Palmer was playing his final round at the U.S. Open.
These are all big things.
The New York Rangers ticker tape parade in New York after the Stanley Cup win over the Vancouver Canucks was on June 17th.
I remember that one.
Ken Griffey Jr. broke Babe Ruth's record for most home runs before June 30th. He hit his 30th home run that day, the Seattle Mariners young star. What else happened? June 17th, 1994.
Okay, Stan, can you hear me?
Yes, Ryan.
I just picked up some information. The source tells me that the police don't know where O.J. Simpson is right now.
This is one of those cases where you just can't believe that reality is real.
Yes. The O.J. chase in Los Angeles.
Bob, we are witnessing tonight a modern tragedy and drama of Shakespearean proportion being played out live on television. And you can probably believe this, in our modern popular television culture, people are going to the freeway, parking their cars, and waving at OJ, we're told, as they drive by.
I remember watching all this coverage. Like, it was crazy. The documentary is amazing.
I'm trying to remember where I was. I'm pretty sure
I was in school.
I was in school as well, but I was in older person school.
Like getting your GED?
No, I was in radio. It's a radio school. I was in high school. I got a couple of years on you.
Yeah, that was a Friday, June 17th, 1994.
Eventually, Mr. Simpson came into the house carrying a family picture. He was taken into custody. He was searched, and then he was allowed to call his mother, visit the restroom, and had a glass of orange juice.
The O.J. chase, World Cup,
just bizarre.
Rangers,
right?
Parade, Knicks in Game 5 of the NBA Final, all on this day, 1994.